Okay, we are here today at PAX West. I am talking with Nick. Nick, please explain why we're here today for you.
So this is my very first PAX West. I created a game with my brother a little bit over a year ago, and we started a Kickstarter just yesterday. It launched. It's doing okay so far, but it's mostly thanks to the fact that we are here at PAX West. We actually didn't even think we would get in, but they let us off the wait list at the very last second, so we scrambled and put everything together, and it's been a huge success so far. Everybody's loving it. We got a line kind of out the door, which is great, but it's been overwhelming. I mean, the whole facility is just huge. There's tons of people, so it's a lot of fun.
So everything you want is exactly how you wanted it to work out?
Exactly. It was actually pretty close, yeah. We got really lucky because the booth next to us didn't show, so I got to scooch over a little bit, which was nice.
What is your game called?
So the game is called Roast, and it's about roasting marshmallows and making s'mores.
What kind of game is it? Like, how do you play it?
It's a pretty casual game. It's a lot like poker, but a little bit mixed with Uno. So there's a lot of gacha cards, attack, defense, quick action like that. But there's also a lot of slow building play. What you want to do is you want to roast your marshmallows on the fire. And the longer they're on the fire, the more points they're worth. But of course, the longer they're out there, the more chances your opponents have to destroy them. So you want to lock them in at just the right time by combining your marshmallows with your chocolates and your graham crackers, just like you would with a real s'more.
We were lucky enough to get a hands-on demonstration on it. And you told us there are multiple ways you can play it, that you don't have to stick to the main rules. How would you explain that?
Yeah, so of course, when we first started creating the game, it was just for family and friends. We didn't even think that we would turn it into a game at all. The first version we made was on construction paper, and we forced our friends and family to use scissors to hand cut it out because we couldn't afford to get a real deck created. And they just really liked it that much that they said, you guys have to make this into a game. And so we got a little bit of money together and printed our first copy, and then we started sending it around and around. And every time we would play it, someone would have a new variation and a new rule, something like that, that would come up. So it wasn't the variety of ways to play that was the challenge. The challenge was which version would be the best for beginners to adopt and then build upon from there, because there are lots and lots of house rules that you can add to this game.
Oh, yeah. You said it was like an easygoing, cozy game to play. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it's easy for new people to come in. How did you design the game to make it easy enough for people to come in? What aspects of the game would make it easy for new game players to pick up this game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I actually have a niece and a nephew, 7 and 9, and that was the ideal bottom end of the game play. So we wanted to make sure that they could play it. So we did a lot of extensive testing with them to say, do you understand? Do you get the game? You know, what did you like? What did you didn't like? You know, so we were just basically going right to the fans and saying, you know, so what part of this was fun? Did you wait too long? What did you want to do right then and there? And so we would take out some cards and we would add some cards in. They would have special abilities that would just make the game so much more complex that someone at 7 or 8 would never think that many steps ahead. And even though it might be fun for more advanced players, we would remove that at first. And then we realized, well, we don't actually have to take that out at all. What we can do then is we'll just modify the rules such that only in an advanced play mode will this become active. And so people who are just getting started, it's so easy to see who's roasting what and what the point levels are and what the cards do. But in the more advanced versions, we turn things upside down and people keep things more secret, and you can start to gamble even the marshmallow s'mores that you've already made. So the points you thought were locked in can then all of a sudden become back in play again.
That's perfect. So you kind of have like an easy mode to bring in the family and your kids. And then you have like a harder mode for the more mature players and people who understand how it's going on. That's great. We have a few questions that we like to ask everyone we interview. It's a bit more about general games. What would be, not including your own game, what would be a game that you think everyone should try to get you into playing games?
You know, I think that like the standard answer, like to get into a card game, would probably be Sushi Go. That's where we started. We had that one, and we had Exploding Kittens as a it's kind of a base. And we said, we like this game, but for us, it was a little bit too simple. And we were asking ourselves, you know, can we keep the lighthearted, fast action fun of these games, but add just a little bit of strategic complexity to it? And that was kind of the balance we were looking for, because we also do play other games. Like if you're into computer games, I feel like everybody's got to play Civ 6 at some point, or Civ 7, which is coming out soon, just because of the massive amount of world building and strategy. You know, I could get together with family and friends and play 3 or 4 sessions that last hours at a time. You know, and so a game like that can really, 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 you know, last and provide a lot of fun, but there's a high level of complexity for that game. So if you're looking to start, you know, some tabletop Sushi Go and Exploding Kittens are a great place to get in. If you're into it further and you haven't yet tried it, which I can't imagine you haven't, the Civs are amazing world builders.
So you said this was one of the first games you've made, you and your brother. How do you go about designing a game? What would be the first steps to being like, this is how the kind of game I want it to go, and the type of game?
I wish that I had a more technically complex answer for you, but the truth is that we've just played so many games that this one pretty much just fell out. It was like, well, this rule will work, that rule won't work, this is too powerful, that's not powerful enough, and the game almost made itself in a lot of ways. Once the idea came out, putting the rules in place was just a trial and error. You know, this breaks the game, this makes it play too slow. The complexity was just getting the ratios right. So the ideas for what should this card do, what should that card do, they're all stolen. You know, you've seen it in another game somewhere else. We were just taking our favorite parts of every game and trying to put it together in a new and interesting combination that hasn't yet played itself out. And then once we do that, what's the exact right ratio so that people are having fun in the moment, but they're also feeling like they're invested in the end game as well?
I mean, I think that's the perfect way to do it. So it makes other people already know how to play aspects of it, so it's easy to bring new people in. I love it.
Yeah, no, so I'm here tagging along with your host and being kind of the game guinea pig here. One thing that you can't see it at home, but our game master here is like dressed the part here at PAX. He looks like a cartoon character, like Ranger or something that you'd find in a national park. And I just
a lumberjack,
yeah. Right? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, precisely the kind of guy who would roast a s'more. And so for me, I'm like, you decided to make a game about s'mores, and the tone is cartoony and wholesome, and I really like it. So my question is, like, what's your connection to that, you know, American tradition of campfires and s'mores and the whole thing? Why make a s'mores game?
That is the question, isn't it? Yeah. Well, so in 2020, I got COVID really, really, really badly. Long COVID, the whole deal. Couldn't breathe, stuff like that. And I couldn't stare at a screen either. It was just too much blue light, or I'm not sure what, but I had to stop altogether all digital media. And my brother and I were big gamers, obviously staring at the screen a lot. And so it changed the nature of our relationship. And we either had to let our relationship go because we didn't live in the same place, or we had to start finding ways to connect outside of the screen. So he bought an RV and we started traveling the national parks because we remembered when we were kids, our dad had us in the Boy Scouts, which at the time we thought, you know, we were kind of dorky and lame Boy Scouts with our neckerchiefs and things like that. But as we, you know, grew and we looked back and we were like, it was pretty wholesome, you know. A lot of time outdoors in nature gave us a really good appreciation for the wilderness and leaving things better than the way that you found it. And, you know, we were in a bit of a transitioning period. Everybody was during that time. And we were just coming back to our roots and asking, you know, like, what really brought us together? What made us happy? And being around the campfire made us happy. And so as we were traveling, we said, how could we get more people into this? How can we get them away from sitting on a couch staring at a screen and start looking at each other again? And we said, well, when we play tabletop games, we're looking at each other. And so we said, well, why don't we make a game? You know, and it was just to bring our family together. I literally planned a family reunion so that we could play this game and spend time with each other because we felt so disconnected. And whatever reason, whatever it was, COVID kind of pushed me out of that bubble and it said, hey man, what are you doing with your life? It's, you know, time is running out. It's short. Spend it with the ones that you love. And so that's why we built the game.
So a wholesomeness made a wholesome game. That's perfect.
I would say if the shape of my relationship with my brother could be made into a physical form, it would look exactly like this game. It's very cute and sweet and nice on the outside, but there's also like a lot of secret viciousness on the inside, which we have a lot of fun with. You know, we love each other and we're brothers, so, you know, we fight a little bit, but it's always, you know, been cute and wholesome.
The full family dynamics.
Yeah.
So, speaking of fighting, I have to ask, which chocolate for your s'more? Your perfect s'more.
Yeah.
Your perfect s'more has real what life. For chocolate?
Oh, in real life?
Yep.
Oh, it's like a 75% cacao dark chocolate with like a little bit of spiciness in it.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I disagree with that.
But
this is America.
You're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah. Allowed to be wrong.
Actually, you really touched on something I really love about games, and that's that they interface both ways with our relationships with the people we play them with the people we spend time with. You know, you iteratively play a game inside your family, and there takes on this, like, this politics or this, like, you know, I know every time you play, you're going to treat me like this, and I'm going to get ahead of you and, like, take care of you first, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on games on that level, how they affect our relationships and are affected by our relationships, in this case with your family, but with anyone we're choosing to spend this kind of time with.
Yeah, that's interesting. Just here at PAX West, I have seen enough groups of people come through that I have changed the way that I play my game based on the way that they look at each other. I can tell from the way that they give each other the eyes, is this going to be a peaceful, nice game? Are we going to roast marshmallows and see who just happens to end up with the most points? Or is somebody here going to just try and destroy everything all the time? And so sometimes I'm there and I'm roasting big sticks. I've got huge marshmallows, 45 points, 50 points on the board, and I'm not worried at all. And other times, as soon as I get 2 or 3 points, whoosh, I make a s'more because I know that the person next to me is going to destroy everything as soon as they get the chance. So it shows up immediately the way that people relate to each other. And, you know, in my own family, we have those, like you said, long-standing dynamics that occur and appear. When I started playing games with my parents, it was a way to connect with them as well. And I'd always seen my parents as my parents. They love me. They care about me. Until, of course, my mom started to destroy me in these games. My own mother was just ruining me, and I couldn't get around the idea that she was a person with her own strategies and ways of being as well until we started playing these games. I'm like, oh, my mom is ruthless. Wow. Yeah, like my mom is ruthless.
My mom
okay.
throws elbows.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. There you
that,
go.
That was like a moment in our relationship that I was like, I don't know if we're going to recover from this. And I don't know that we have. I love you, Mom, if you're listening.
I know when we played the game, we were just going at each other.
Oh, yeah.
It's just trying to destroy each other as quick as possible. Yeah, every time we play a game, we just do that. So, I don't want to keep you for too much longer. Your game seems to be blowing up. You seem to have a lot of people on there. Before we leave, please, once again, tell us what your game's about and how people can find you and your game.
Yeah, thank you. So the game is called Roast, a game of Marsh and Mallow. And we have a website, roast-game.com, that you can go to. But we're also on Kickstarter. It's our very second day of Kickstarter. We're doing pretty well. But if you guys are out there and you think this game might be for you, we would love your support. It is our very first game. And we hope to make a successful run of it. And we've got a lot more expansions if we can make this Kickstarter happen. So you go to Kickstarter and you search Roast, a game of Marsh and Mallow. We should pop right on up. Any cozy gaming, any family gaming tags you throw in there, and we'll be right there too.
Well, thank you for doing this with us on our first on-site interview. I hope it is everything you want it to go. Thank you again.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.